Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, more positive mobile order changes come to the resort. Toontown is being heavily worked on again.
The villas at the Disneyland Resort are set to open. New Ears hit the shelves. We talk about the Adventureland Treehouse and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Howdy, partners. For your safety, remain seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast. And be sure to watch your ears. If any of you folks are wearing hats or glasses, best remove them, because Tag and Teresa have the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of September 27th, 2023. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Thank you to Annie D for becoming an official weekly tier on our Patreon. Our supporters get some pretty fun perks like DL Weekly swag, bonus content, and access to our Discord community. A special thank you to Alex B, Samuel B, Daniel M, and Cindy B for your continued support. If you would like some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to join.
Well, if you enjoy listening to the show, please consider rating and reviewing the show on your podcast app. It helps other Disney fans become weekly tiers and part of the community.
Now let's get to the news.
Well, more mobile ordering changes are coming to the Disneyland app, this time at select locations. When placing your order and you get the I'm here, prepare my order window, there is now an estimated wait time for your food after pressing the button. This will help set expectations for guests on how long their food will be.
I think this is excellent. I don't know how many times I just have the weirdest luck with these things. I feel like mobile order is either great, I hit the button and say I'm here, and within 5 minutes tops, my food's like, I'm getting buzzed and it's ready to go. Whereas there's other times I hit the button, I'm here, and it feels like it's more like 15 minutes before my food's done. And it always seems to be when I'm ordering something that I feel should be pretty quick and easy, like a drink. There's this one time I remember I was at Hungry Bear. I was waiting for a mobile order. You picked up something at a different spot and came back to me, and I was still waiting, and it was just a drink that I was waiting for. So this would be nice, because if I can see before, like if I can pull up my mobile order before I'm standing right there and can see, oh, they're a little bit behind, it's going to be more like a 15 to 20 minute wait, then I know that I'm prepared. Then I can hit the button ahead of time, get myself over by the time that goes. Same thing if it's the other way around. I see that once I hit the button, it's going to buzz me that it's ready. You know, if it's going to buzz that it's ready right away, I know, don't hit that button until you're right there.
Yeah.
I like this a lot.
Yeah, I think this will help the mobile order windows too, because I think some people, because it allows you to kind of hit I'm here, prepare my order, like right after you place the order, and you don't really have to be there.
Right.
So I feel like there might be times where, like you said, where it's almost instantaneous and the person's still halfway across the park. And so that order is sitting there. And I'm sure that I'm sure that the cast members at these locations are frustrated by that. So the fact that you can have like a window of when to come back, I think will be a great idea. Mm-hmm. And I have the same thing at Jolly Holiday. Last time we were there, I clicked, I'm here, prepare my order. And it says, we're preparing your order. And I felt like I waited there for, gosh, what felt like forever. And it was just for like one sandwich and a drink. And I'm just like, why is this taking so long?
Yeah. So my Hungry Bear experience was interesting, because I watched as probably about 8 to 10 people were helped by the one cashier that were just, you know, waiting in the regular line. And they all got their foods, which looked like full meal orders, before my drink was made. So the system was a little wonky at that point. So, but again, I'm the person that I don't hit I'm here unless I'm actually right there. So if I know,
as you should.
Yep. So if I know it's going to be, they need the extra time, I'm totally okay with that. I like having more transparency, I guess, with these sorts of things.
I think the more information you can give someone about their order, the better it's going to go overall.
Mm-hmm. Well, poor Toontown. It has been open for just a few months, and parts of it have been behind construction walls for much of that time. Currently, the interactive fountain in the center, which is the one that is with Mickey and Minnie, is undergoing an extensive operation to improve it. Donald's Boat Splash Pad has never been working for guests, and more other small projects all over. The good news is Disney is working to make sure that these things are working as designed and they're not giving up.
I got to give them commendation for that, because I feel like there's been times in the past, I can't think of anything specific, that something just stopped working and they're like, oh, well.
Well, okay. Rise of the Resistance, the big cannons.
Oh, yeah.
Usually we see it inside of attractions where things will be working and then suddenly they don't work and then it just kind of never works again sort of thing. There's also some other effects that when we were talking about Indiana Jones that we learned about were going for quite some, were part of the original concept and were implemented, but with time they kind of faded, I guess would be a good way of saying it.
So what surprises me about this fountain in specifically inside of Toontown is they've torn up like all of the pavement again and everything. It's so extensive. Wow.
So of course we have links in our show notes to photos of this. Fresh Baked also did a really great construction update video that included this. But even if you look at the fountain itself, all of the interactive features at the base of the fountain, all the little lily pads, they just added like different little animals and stuff, missing. All of that is missing. But something to remember is when Toontown was being discussed and what was coming to the new Toontown was being discussed, this water fountain had a bigger, brighter future than what we had currently seen. They were talking about how it was going to have like basically like a miniature little show, a mini world of color, if you will, that would kind of happen in the evening at this fountain. Since Toontown opened, that has not happened. And the interactive features have been kind of limping along, as it were, too. So in essence, the fountain's kind of been in a B, maybe even a C mode ever since opening day, and it never has performed as it was designed to do. So I really think that it's amazing, like Tega's already mentioned, it's amazing that this land hasn't even been a year old yet. They're realizing these things aren't working and they're addressing them right away. Whereas they could have just been like, oh, well, guess that's what it's going to be, or sort of thing. It'd be easy to write that off, especially since it is a brand new land.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so interesting to me, because I almost wonder like what happened. Did they think that this was going to be an easier operation than it was? Did, because they had pushed the timeline out there, was this something that they did it too quick and so things weren't done the proper way? Or, I mean, it seems like there could be a number of things here. But again, I'm just really happy that Disney is following up on this to make it that design how it was.
Well, I was just thinking back to when we were covering Toontown, like the evolution of Toontown, if you will, when it was closed. Mice Chat had some different like aerial photos that they shared every few weeks. So it was interesting watching the progress, but it was dirt for a very, very long time. All of this like finished show readiness, I guess would be, you know, stage readiness, whatever you want to call it. Everything that we see now came together really fast.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it came together a little bit too fast or what exactly the issue is. But Donald's boat is also, that one's interesting, because that one's, it's a splash pad. It's designed to be a splash pad. That one's never been turned on and has never worked. Once work wraps up with the fountain, though, it does look like Goofy's Play Yard is going down for refurbishment as well, which if you've walked through Toontown, you have probably noticed that there are elements missing to Goofy's Play Yard that were there for opening day that have since vanished. So that's kind of in a stage of repair as well.
Man, poor Toontown. Can't catch a break.
Poor Toontown. But it looks beautiful.
It does. The Disney Vacation Club Villas at the Disneyland Hotel open this week, and the virtual grand opening will be streamed live. Thursday, September 28th at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the premiere will be online at the link in our show notes.
Again, such a Disney nerd thing to say, but I'm really excited to be able to kind of see this. It's been really fun watching these towers go up. They look beautiful. Like, the thing that's crazy to me about this is looking at concept art for these towers versus real pictures of what the towers look like. Concept art has gotten, like, it looks so realistic now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. Not that we are not DVC members, but man, this really makes me think about if I were to be, this could be my home resort.
It's a nice looking resort. Again, you know, for me, I feel like the cost of DVC is just still a little bit higher than I want to pay. But for the people who can afford it and who want to do it, or are members and want to be closer to their home park. If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a Disneyland fan. That's kind of like your home park. You know, I feel like this is good.
They look gorgeous.
Is that actually a part of the thing? So I'm looking at this concept little thing. It looks like there's like a little Tinkerbell on the side.
Oh, yeah. I don't know have if the we seen that there or not? Because that's on the pool side.
I literally have never noticed this before.
That's the pool side. That's the, I don't know if I want to say the back.
Is it? Because this is the Frontierland Tower.
I don't know what I'm talking
I'll
about.
I'll have to look for this, but I'm interested to see what they do for their virtual grand opening that they're going to have online in a couple days.
Well, some new ears have arrived at the resort. This time, a new Pirate Mickey ear headband featuring red and white striped ears, a brown pirate hat, and a red sash. The band has a cord that looks like rope attached to it. They are $34.99. There's also a Belle ballroom dress ear set that is similar to Belle's golden dress from the film, with yellow fabric, a gold rose design, and pearls attached to the ears. The bow is layered with gold sequins, yellow fabric, and a red rose for the knot. These are also $34.99.
These look kind of cool. They're very kind of intricate. I do like that we finally have like a band that's, this pirate one looks like a guy's band.
That's finally true.
So we're not just getting the mini bows.
Yep, there isn't a bow attached to the center.
And it does say Mickey ear headband. We keep talking about this. So I'm excited that we're finally getting some variety for the guys, because there's a ton of mini ears out there.
There are a ton.
Do you see yourself, or are either of these things that you would strike your fancy?
Gravitate more. I really like the look of the Belle ballroom dress ears, just because of the detailing on them. I think it's really fun. They really did a nice job kind of capturing the essence of Belle's yellow ball gown. But the pirate ears are really fun too. I don't know. They're super fun. There was also, I did not include this in the news today, but there was also, you can actually see it in the bottom of this photo that you're looking at right there. There was a second set of Beauty and the Beast ears that also released. I don't remember what the price was on that, so forgive me for that. But they look more like the stained glass look. So the ears themselves have like Belle and Adam, that's the Beast's actual name.
As a human,
like a close-up of them dancing, and like I think there's the rose. They do light up as well. And then instead of having a bow in between them, it's just kind of lined with faux rose flowers.
You know what else I noticed in one of these photos? Same photo that you saw that other one in. Look at how not long this tag is.
Yes, the tags have gotten short. I don't know when it happened, but it was a beautiful, wonderful day when it did happen.
The old ones were ridiculous. They went, the hats too. Like they were a mile long.
It was funny because I was actually in my room where my ears are displayed, and I was looking at them. I have some kind of hanging on the wall. They're flat against the wall. And then other ones that are kind of like books, like on a bookshelf. And I was looking at both sets, and I'm also a nerd. I don't know why I've done this, but I have them displayed in the order that I got them.
That's cool, though, the fact that you remember that.
Yeah, so
even.
I kind of try to keep them in the order that I got them. So it's funny looking at both the wall and then, like, also the little hanger thing that I have on the side.
Did the tag progressively get longer?
No. It was short, and then, bam, it was long. And then I was looking at it the other day, and I was like, that was just weird. Like, why did they do that? Like, and it was just this period of time that they had super long, super, super long tags, but recently they shortened them up.
The same thing with like even like the t-shirts and stuff, because they started putting the tag on the side,
and they were crazy
and
long
they were
tags.
Also crazy mm-hmm. long mm-hmm. Well, changing gears here a little bit, calling all inline skaters in the Southern California area, Disneyland has posted an open audition for inline skaters who are available at least 3 days a week for a new experience coming to the resort. Interested applicants can apply at the link in the show notes. There's also a link here that has a video of the type of things you are expected to be able to perform.
I'm curious about this. Let's pause for a moment, because I want to watch this demo to see if we can get any more like info. So we just watched the skater demo. My first thought with this was, well, the Christmas Fantasy Parade has the ice skaters that are on inline skates, and I believe there's also some like skiers that are on skates as well. So I was thinking, is this maybe just something that they're putting out there that's not something different? But the actual posting calls it a unique a quote-unquote unique new experience coming to the Disneyland Resort, which then makes me think it is not the skaters that we have seen. It's not the ice skaters, the snowflake ice skaters, or the skiers from the Christmas Fantasy Parade. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts? I'm perplexed by this.
I don't know what this will be either. However, I'm looking at there's 14 open things, and I'm looking at this. So there's like Asha and Flynn Rider and Bert they're looking for.
Oh, sure.
Mulan, Pocahontas, Moana, just characters in general. Miss Marvel, Four Town, Jin Lee, Joe Gardner. I don't know if we talked about that one before. There's Miriam, Pura, and Abby. I think, are those the friends or whatever?
Yep, they're from
the inline skater, parade dancers in general, and vocalists for the Dapper Dans and actors for storytelling at the Royal Theater. So they're hiring for that too. They're
for all sorts of stuff right now for performers. But yeah, this is curious.
I have no idea what, I mean, I don't know what type, maybe it's a new parade or maybe it's a new, like,
some
street
sort of show?
Spectacular or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm curious.
I love how people have, over time now, learned where to go look for things for Disney to, like, speculate on the future. And now the, like, audition posts is one of those things. It's just very, very interesting. Speaking of speculating, since we have really no idea what these things are going to look like.
The Disney 100-year celebration is continuing to roll along with new things coming all the time. This time, McDonald's Happy Meals toys themed to Disney 100 are coming October 16th. No news on what exactly they are going to be, but this will be similar to the Walt Disney World 50th anniversary toys. Only thing we've seen is an image of the box of what the Disney 100 celebration box is.
It looks like it might be some like little plastic toys that are all the different types of characters.
If that's what the toys look like, good catch on that, Tag. That it's probably all those little figures are probably what, like, little things of the toys. They almost look like little
Funko Pop.
Like, yeah, they almost look like little Funko Pop type styled.
Yeah.
Styles of the different things, which, oh man, that's dangerous.
I think I'm just scarred from the what was it where we had to collect all the different
train
of different cars. Yeah, like, I was scarred by that situation.
Yeah.
Because I remember wasn't it during COVID or right?
It was. It was our fun thing to do during, like, not lockdown, but when things still weren't.
But we were going and buying Happy Meals and like getting all types of stuff. Yeah. And I remember in our Discord chat, people were trading stuff because people had multiples of certain things.
This honestly looks more appealing to me than the ones those little train ones. Those were adorable. Don't get me wrong.
I have the whole set. It's really cool. But,
yeah, these look cute.
I
don't look like a happy, like, if that's what these are, they don't really look like a Happy Meal toy.
I have fond memories of being a kid and getting Happy Meal toys.
There you go.
Did you have a favorite Happy Meal toy from when you were a kid? I know what mine was. They had, it just happened to work out for me that I got really into Back to the Future in the early 90s, and all the movies had already come out. So, like, there wasn't, like, they had already come out and, like, whatever. But they had an animated Back to the Future TV show, and they released toy. So I had a toy DeLorean, and what was so neat is you could pull it backwards and let it go, and it had this like thing where it would like where like the engine thing was on the back, it would like spark.
There you go.
It was super cool. It was one of my, like, I was so happy because the movies had come out a few years prior, they didn't have any toys for them. But this Happy Meal thing, because they had an animated series, I got some toys from it. I was very excited. Go. Now there's Back to the Future toys all over the place.
That's true.
You don't remember any?
I don't have any specific memories. I remember Beanie Babies, of course.
There was a Happy Meal Beanie Baby, wasn't there?
There were several Beanie Baby Happy Meal releases. And then the other one I remember, for some reason, my mom had collected these. And I think I just remember them because I always wanted to play with them, but she collected them. So, like, they were on, it was like, nope, you can't play with those toys. But it was Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. So it must have been because she, like, collected the entire set. I think we had a couple of the, like, duplicates, but she had the full set, so I remember.
Does she still have them?
I don't know if she still has them or not. But there was this little mine cart that I remember that had these, like, clear plastic gemstones on them, and it just looked really cool.
Huh.
Your attention, please. DL Weekly Trivia is now leaving for a Grand Circle tour of the Magic Kingdom, with stops at New Orleans Square, Mickey's Toontown, and Tomorrowland. All weekly tiers, boy!
Hello, welcome to Trivia Land. How are you two doing this fine, whatever time of day the listeners are listening to this?
Pretty good.
I don't know. We've been doing some trivia in Discord, and it's been pretty challenging, so I'm not feeling top of my game.
Well, maybe you just got the practice you need, and now you're ready for this.
Maybe.
Time will tell, right?
I mean, you said tonight you weren't sure, but then you were thinking you weren't going to be very nice, so I don't know.
Yeah, but you two always surprise me. When I think it's going to be hard, you know the answers. When I think it's going to be easy, something stumps you.
You never know.
I have a feeling you'll do all right.
Okay.
First question for you. What is the name of the training program new Disney cast members go through?
Isn't it Traditions?
Yeah, Traditions.
Traditions, they say confidently.
Well, I mean, I didn't say it very confidently, but I think it's Traditions.
Well, we'll go with it. Question number two, true or false? Walt Disney dropped out of high school and served in the Army.
True. Ooh. See, you're giving us two things there. You're saying he dropped out and went to the Army. I'm going to say yes, because I think he went in the Army and he was a postal
person. Yeah, he was in the Army. Or a medic or something. He dropped out of, did you say high school or college?
High school.
Ooh.
I said true.
I feel like it's true. Yeah.
Going with true. All right. Question number three. Both these next questions, I can thank touringplans.com for the data. At least as of 2019, which attraction at the resort has the lowest hourly capacity?
The lowest capacity.
As of 2019?
As of 2019.
Let's think. Dumbo?
The subs has a really low.
Or Casey Jr.?
I think Dumbo has less than Casey Jr. Lowest hourly capacity. I'm trying to think of something that has like.
What about Luigi's? That one seems pretty.
Yeah. I feel like there's some attraction that I'm just not thinking of that's
Emotional
like so.
Emotional Whirlwind.
Emotional Whirlwind could be there. Jumpin' Jellyfish could be there because that doesn't seat that many people.
Sky School. That's not a lot.
That moves enough.
I'm going to go with my first thought, and I'm going to stick with Dumbo.
Do you have a hint for us? Like, can you tell us what park it's in?
No, I don't.
Okay. I'm going to say Jumpin' Jellyfish. You're probably right with Dumbo, maybe.
I don't know.
It was interesting to see. There were a lot of lower capacity attractions that are pretty close.
I know the subs has pretty abysmal hourly capacity. But I don't think it's the worst.
All right. And your last one, again, thanks to touringplans.com. Which show, on average, has a longer runtime? Fantasmic or Mickey and the Magical Map?
Ooh.
Ooh. On average.
Yeah, you know, sometimes there's a little flair. Things go a little differently.
I'll say Mickey and the Magical Map because Fantasmic, I feel like, has a very consistent, like, 22, 23-minute showtime.
I was actually going to go with Fantasmic. That one feels longer to me. Like, I'm just thinking about the experience of sitting and watching.
Sure.
Ooh, a house divided.
I think that also is because Mickey the Magical Map, when it was playing, you could kind of show up whenever and sit down, where Fantasmic, you're always hunting for your seat forever, and so it felt like you were there longer.
Oh, no, I'm thinking, like, the actual show itself.
Mm, okay.
And, like, how many different songs there are.
I mean, you could be right. We'll find out, I guess.
Oh, I could be very, very wrong.
You could, but maybe some listeners are screaming right now at you, telling you that this is the right answer, but we'll all have to wait until after the discussion topic to find out for sure.
For this week's discussion topic, we thought it would be a wonderful time to look back and do a deep dive at the Treehouse in Adventureland. Now, the Treehouse has gone by several names, but with its new reopening date approaching, as in fall 2024, we feel like it could be any time now. We wanted to kind of take a look back at the history of this beautiful Adventureland icon.
So the Swiss Family Treehouse, that's how it started.
That was the original, yes.
That's the original. I remember this. And actually, in Disney World, it's still the Swiss Family Treehouse out at the Magic Kingdom. So this opened in 1962, so it's been around for quite a long time.
I'm sorry. This is wild to me.
Okay.
Some of this information we will have notes in our show notes for, but some of the other information, I'm actually sitting here with my copy of The Nickel Tour, because if you have this book or if you've seen this book, A, it's beautiful, but B, it is filled to the brim with so many good facts about Disneyland. So they have a portion on the Swiss Family Treehouse. I did not know this until reading this page.
What made you look in this book, by the way, for this?
One of these articles referenced it, and I was like, oh, I never thought to look. Like, I've looked at this book a million times, but for some reason, when I'm doing research for our deep dives, I don't think to pull it out. I don't sure. ask me why. But anyways, this was a really interesting fact. The first actual roots for the Swiss Family Treehouse went into the Disneyland soil January 17th, 1962. And just 10 months later, November 18th, the tree was unveiled in Adventureland. Is that not wild?
I mean, back in the day, man, they threw things together.
10 months. This treehouse has been closed for years at this point for them to I mean, that's just crazy.
And how many years has it been standing if we do the math now?
It's 1962 to present.
62 years? 61 years? Yeah, 61 years. Mm-hmm. 61 years. Took 10 months, but it's been standing for 61 years.
So it took countless craftsmen and about almost $255,000 to make this tree grow. The steel limbs are covered in concrete and the roots. How far do you think those go down into the ground?
Oh, that's a good question. 20 feet?
40.
Oh.
40 feet. Wild.
Well, it makes sense because, you know, if you get wind and, like, you know, it has to anchor and hold there.
But it's just like it's a feat. It's not just this like fun, beautiful thing to look at. Oh, no, it was quite the feat to create and to build. And while we're talking about that, Tag, what is the lovely name that this very special tree goes by?
Oh, yes. It translates as large ever-blooming Disney tree, but it's the Disneyodendron Sempervirens grandis. The fancy, like, horticultural name, I guess, for it, if there was one.
And some fun facts about this. It is 60 feet tall, and there are approximately 300,000 plastic leaves.
That were attached by hand.
That were attached by hand to this thing. Just wild. I mean, amazing, really, when you think of it. And again, went up in 10 months.
Yeah. So the Swiss Family Treehouse is themed after the Swiss Family Robinson movie from 1960. So it was just a couple years later they did this treehouse. And I have fond memories of my first visits to Disneyland and it being the Swiss Family Treehouse before it was, which we'll talk about in a little bit, before it was rethemed. And then
the
first time. And now it's being rethemed yet again. So this thing was kind of a marvel. One of the things that I remember about this was the fact that it had, which is also returning in its latest incarnation, is it had this amazing water wheel with all of this, like these little canisters and stuff and a lot of movement and like a little waterfall. What was really neat that I can remember from this is that the noise of that water wheel somehow masked like the crowd noise of the park. So you kind of felt like you were in the middle of like nowhere.
Like you were transported.
Yeah, because it was in between like, you know, the main walkway here between New Orleans Square and Adventureland. I mean, when it was first built, there was no New Orleans Square there, but later on. And the kind of like jungle area, which of course on the backside of it for the longest time was the Jungle Cruise, which when Indiana Jones moved in, the queue for that ended up taking up that space. But so it's been surrounded by a lot of different stuff over the years for sure.
It has. Well, so the fun backstory about this is a lot of Imagineers, when this was first proposed, didn't really understand how this was going to work, why people would want to visit it. You know, basically, they're looking at it thinking it's going to be a waste of space and money. No one's going to want to climb all the way to the top just to turn around to climb all the way back down, which
I know people who feel that way.
I was going to say, which is, you know, valid. But as usual, Walt was right with this decision, and this was a very popular attraction when it first opened. And even the thing that was even crazier was the adult tree climbers outnumbered the children. Like it was like 3-1 or something.
Oh,
like
wow.
That. So like adults were more excited about this treehouse than the children even were.
Well, and one of the things that I really still like about the Treehouse in any form that it's been in is the views.
Yeah.
We have a link to a Yesterland article here, and they have a view from back in the day of the Rivers of America and the Haunted Mansion kind of off in the distance, mm-hmm. which, you know, looks a lot different then than it does now. But also, the jungle had not grown up 100% yet. It was less than 10 years old at this point.
Oh.
And you could see into the Cambodian shrine area from the tree.
Look at that.
Yeah. So that's really cool. It provides a really unique perspective on the park.
Yes, definitely. The other really cool thing, too, that Tag's mentioning is he's looking at all these different photos. We have a link in our show notes to the website Yesterland. I don't know how, but their collection of photos for things that are in the past now from Disneyland history, their photos are incredible. So if you have some time, highly, highly, highly recommend that you check the link in our show notes and go check out this article to kind of look at the treehouse past, if you will. But very, very cool. So one thing that I think is interesting with the Swiss Family Robinson or the Swiss Family Treehouse, which was based on the Swiss Family Robinson, was, you know, this was kind of depicted as their home. And the thing that was interesting, though, was during the time that the Swiss Family Treehouse was there, you never actually saw any of the family members. You were touring their home, but you never actually bumped into the mother or the father or the children at all.
Yeah.
So that was kind of an interesting when it fast forward when we got to Tarzan's treehouse, the characters were present. So it was just kind of interesting that you were peeking in this fictional home with no characters.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like nowadays, and we might see this maybe, I mean, we don't know anything, but I would not be surprised if they had some type of a character at some point that would walk around and you could bump into. We've seen that with stuff that's been around for a long time. Red from Pirates has been meeting and greeting and stuff like that. So you never know who might pop out and do some of these things. Now that you mention that, that is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have more?
Yeah, just to kind of talk about the treehouse a little bit more for those that didn't ever get to experience it. When you climbed up the treehouse, and by climbed up, I mean you just took the staircase up. There was no actual climbing of the tree. But you were greeted with a series of scenes inside the different huts that kind of showed how the Robinson family created the house out of a wreckage and salvaged from their ship. So ground level was like a kitchen and library, and then guests worked their way up to mother and father's room, then climbed all the way to the top floor where the boys made camp.
And a crow's nest,
yes. But yeah, so it was just kind of like, just kind of their humble abode, if you will.
I thought they did a really nice job of, because the idea here is that they are shipwrecked, right?
Yeah.
And that they used pieces of their shipwrecked ship to create these rooms, like mm-hmm. in this tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's really neat to me is, like, you know, there's like barrels and stuff. There's a ship wheel as part of the thing. There's some of their, you know, instruments and tables and stuff that's not directly connected to a ship. But there's things like sails and stuff hanging. I think it was even if you watch the original movie or you watch any of the stuff from Swiss Family Robinson, it's really clever how they repurpose some of these things. Yeah. And the Imagineers then translate that into this attraction at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. One thing that we need to mention before we move on is that wonderful, iconic song. It's kind of the Adventureland version of It's a Small World. It's a song you either hate to love or love to hate, whatever, however you want to say it. But one of those songs that really just kind of whittles its way in, the Swiska Polka. Now, personally, I enjoy the Swiska Polka.
I do too.
I'm sure there's people out there that it probably just gets stuck in their head and like Small World, and that's why Small World isn't as popular.
There's no lyrics or anything. It's just like a tune.
Yep. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun, bouncy, uplifting
tune. Do you think they'll be that or something similar in the Adventureland treehouse?
Oh, yeah.
So,
There would be like a revolt if there wasn't.
Okay. So, in early 1999, the Swiss family was evicted from the treehouse for it to be rethemed to Tarzan, which was an animated feature that had just come out in the last few years. Now, I've heard, I don't know if this is substantiated anywhere, like in print, but I heard through different people we've talked to over the time we've done this podcast that this attraction was actually going to close and Tony Baxter.
This attraction was like on the chopping block to close permanently and demolished. And
Tony Baxter came in and said, look, We can bring in an IP from an animated movie we just did. We could do it for fairly cheap, and it can be billed as kind of a new attraction. And so, boom, we could have Tarzan's Treehouse. And somehow, they went for it.
They did. And I'm glad they did, because my memories, the first time I went to the park, it was Tarzan's Treehouse. I never got to experience the original Swiss Family Treehouse. So I really enjoyed this. And the thing that was different, the main difference, besides a different story, was this told the story of Tarzan while you walked through the different rooms. So you actually, these characters were present. They were fiberglass characters.
So kind of like the Sleeping Beauty Castle walkthrough where you get the Sleeping Beauty story as you walk through. Okay. Yep,
kind of like that. So when you walked through, you actually saw the characters in the different rooms, and there was little plaques that kind of helped bridge the gap and tell the story of Tarzan. I thought it was really interesting, and there was all sorts of different places where you could stop, and you know, maybe if you couldn't see the characters, they would have music that represented the different characters or scenes. But I thought it was really interesting. The other thing that I really enjoyed, as you all know, because we talked about the demise of this recently, was they added a new way to get into the tree. They added this kind of like stump on the opposite side of the walkway from where the base of the tree was. And so you'd go up the staircase in the stump, you'd walk across this little
rope bridge
type thing, and then you'd continue your ascent into the treehouse. I thought that was so fun. It does make me sad that it's missing, because it did provide a nice visual barrier between Adventureland and New Orleans Square, with now without it being there. You can see the Pirates building from like the middle of Adventureland, and to me that's a little, I'm still getting used to that. But yeah, so anyways, it was just different.
I also enjoyed the bridge. I thought it was a fun, I love any type of those type of bridges. I also thought it added some visual kind of barrier between the two different lands. So I agree with you on that. However, we'll get to this a little bit, but one of the rumored reasons that the treehouse closed was that there could have been some structural issues with it that needed to be addressed. And I saw somewhere that was talking to an engineer who said, when they originally built the tree, it was meant to be a freestanding thing. And so when you add something like this bridge, you're putting different forces on the the structure, which can cause some structural issues. So it's possible, again, I don't know, I've just seen rumors, that the bridge actually put some stress on the structure that it was not designed for. And so one of the potential reasons that it was gone or taken out for the redo that we're going through now is because of this structure. But I really thought it was neat. I liked going over it. I know that there was a couple things we reported on shortly before it closed, of some of the planks had gotten weak and broken and stuff like that. So I also remember there's this one of these fiberglass characters in the attraction had these huge fangs. And I remember more than once, unfortunate people, like guests, like pulled on the fangs and would break the fangs off, but they always fixed them pretty quick. I was pretty impressed with that.
They did. So some fun things I was actually just reading in the Nickel Tour. So to kind of to build on the story about why the shift to Tarzan was that they actually were kind of talking about a major overhaul. In here, it explains because weather and just time had taken its toll on the leaves, the branches, and, you know, the huts in there, because it had been about 40 years at this point that the treehouse had been opened. So they were talking about adding characters from Disney's live action film George of the Jungle to the Jungle Cruise.
Oh,
not to this. Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, then later down the line, Disney animator Glenn Keane is actually showing Tony Baxter some of his early concepts for Tarzan with, you know, his tree branch surfing ways. And before long, George was out and Tarzan was in, but they decided not for the Jungle Cruise, thank goodness.
Yes.
And they were using it to freshen and update the treehouse. So it was kind of a way to revitalize the treehouse. Again, it doesn't say if it was on the chopping block or not, but that's the rumor that we have heard. But yeah, the thing that's really interesting is Tarzan's treehouse opened to guests on June 19th, 1999, which was actually just one day after the animated feature was released. So they opened this not knowing if Tarzan was going to be a hit or a flop. So they kind of went out on a limb, no pun intended.
See what you do there.
But the attraction was actually designed and built in less than 6 months. Now, of course, they had a lot of the foundation work already there, but again, it was another super quick turnaround to get Tarzan in.
Where are those working people when they're redoing the thing now? I'm telling you, it's been years, years.
Yeah. And according to the Nickel Tour, in case anyone asks, which of course we're asking, there are 48,192 leaves on the new tree.
Oh, wow.
They refreshed it. So the tree has less leaves than it did, but 48,912.
That's interesting because I feel like there's still a lot of leaves on there. I wonder how many there are now that they've redone it yet again. I guess I'm sure when it opens, there'll be one of those perhaps fact things. Know. Maybe the Disney Parks blog will post about it. So this was your first version of the treehouse. What did you think of it?
I liked it. I loved the music. You know I loved the music.
Yeah, it was good music, in fairness.
It was wonderful area music, not just for the treehouse, but I think for Adventureland, because the drums were great. It was a great background noise. It was high energy. And then I also appreciated that because it was tied in with the treehouse, which was themed to Tarzan, you did also have, it wasn't in your face, but they did have the melodies of Tarzan kind of woven into it. I loved it. I loved the music. The treehouse itself was very fun. There was quite a few nods to other things, including the Swiss Family Treehouse, because the Swiska Polka was still playing on a gramophone, which was down on the
ground level.
But there was also a fun nod in Tarzan the film. You can see an Easter egg of Mrs. Potts and Chip. So I thought it was really fun that Easter egg also made an appearance here in the treehouse, and Mrs. Potts and Chip can be seen in the kitchen.
This isn't going to surprise you. I've never seen Tarzan.
It's good.
Is it?
I like it.
I don't feel like it did well in the theater. Did it not?
I don't remember it
being a big deal.
I was growing up with it, so I thought it was amazing. So I don't have any, I don't know if it was how well it did in the box office or not, if that makes sense. I thought it was popular, but I was a kid.
Sure. So another
question. I was totally the audience they were gearing for.
Another question here. So in this Yesterland article, there was an elephant in the stream. Do you remember seeing this? Because I don't remember seeing this.
It looks like
it's from the Jungle Cruise.
It's kind of like, this stream's interesting because the stream is kind of off to the side. And if you didn't really know to look over there, you wouldn't have known to look over there. I kind of have a faint memory of the baby elephant.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I don't remember that, but Yesterland has a photo here. And, I don't know. I'm just very intrigued. And then Yesterland also has a picture from the movie Tarzan showing the treehouse from that, which I can see some elements of.
It's not too far off from what they actually did. So it actually worked really, really well for the re-theme of the treehouse.
Yeah. Tony Baxter has a quote here on this Yesterland article, too. I pitched that we could convert it over, Baxter continued. They said, if you can do it for a certain amount of money, which was very, very little, and get it to the day the movie opens, we'll allow you to do it.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Gave us enough money to restore it, put new leaves on, beef it up structurally, and build a second tree with a swing bridge out.
Wow.
Crazy.
And here it is when they're doing the...
So in essence,
transition.
Tarzan saved the tree.
Wow. I don't think I've ever seen some of these photos of it being transitioned before. Okay, well, that was Tarzan's treehouse. What happened now?
Fast forward to current day. So the treehouse suddenly closed in 2021 and never reopened. Actually, we were there kind of in the weird in-between time, because it was kind of one of those, we thought that it was still closed because of the pandemic and there was too many touch points, and so we thought it was just like a precaution for health and safety. But I don't think it ever actually reopened after the parks reopened from the pandemic shutdown. So it closed never to reopen again, and it just kind of was closed for a little while until then they finally announced an official announcement that it would be that the treehouse would be coming back. However, it would be called the Adventureland Treehouse, with kind of a more, I don't want to say generic, but a more unique storyline, nothing that was tied to a specific IP like the Swiss Family or Tarzan. And so, yeah, so they've added a different room to it as well. They've brought back some of the elements from the original Swiss Family Treehouse.
Like the water, water wheel.
I'm sure the Swiss Capoca is going to be playing as well. But the thing that's also really exciting is they're making the treehouse more accessible. So for those of you that were not a fan of climbing up 72 stairs for Tarzan's treehouse and then descending.
Only 72.
72 stairs up and 67 stairs down. Hmm. Whereas the Swiss Family Treehouse had 68 steps going up and 69 coming down. It's a lot of steps.
It is.
So for those, you know, for those that aren't able to adventure to those sorts of heights, they're making this more accessible, which I think is really fantastic. I can't wait for it to open. Hopefully it will be opening soon so we can check it out. I know Fresh Baked especially has been following the construction updates
with
it. He
loves this tree.
I cannot wait to see it, like the video of it opening and him finally like being able to experience it, because he's been following the construction very, very closely.
I watch his construction videos, and I think if you were to time how long he spends talking about stuff, he's talked about this treehouse more than he's talked about anything else.
Yeah.
Good for him. I mean, he's very excited for it.
Very excited. I love it.
I hope that he... I don't think this will happen, but wouldn't it be amazing if he could be one of, like, the first people up the new tree? I mean, that'd be really cool for him. I think he'd be really excited. Now, you ran across a really awesome photo in your research. You want to explain this?
So, somehow in my research, I found this print from Disney Fine Art, and it's titled Walt at Swiss Family Treehouse, because, of course, Walt was still alive when the Swiss Family Treehouse was open, and it's just this really fun photo of Walt he's just in the treehouse, just living, like, just enjoying life, and he's just kind of sitting there soaking it all in, and someone snapped a photo of him smiling while looking at the camera. I think it's such a fun photo. It's not a photo that I had seen of Walt before.
Yeah, me either.
So I think that's why it was also really exciting. So
I didn't know that there was a Disney Fine Art website mm-hmm. that has a ton of photos from the archives.
I didn't either, but I think that's very, I mean, come on, how cool.
Yeah, this is really neat. We'll have a link to that in the show notes as well. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this Adventureland treehouse opens soon. I like the fact that they kind of have a lot of nods to the original idea of the treehouse. I'm sure, like everything Imagineering does when they retheme something, I'm sure there'll be nods to Tarzan as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad this is sticking around. It's a very simple attraction, but you got to have a variety of different types of attractions. You can't just have thrill rides. You can't just have dark rides. You can't just have any type of specific ride. It's good to have a variety of things. And a walkthrough kind of thing like this, especially with some of the kinetic energy, which I think we've talked about a lot. Disneyland does really well when there's a lot of kinetic energy in an area. Mm-hmm. And having the water wheel and the, you know, the pulley system and everything moving water around, I think is really great for that area of Adventureland.
I'm really excited to see it in action, because that was something that I never got to experience, but it was kind of like an iconic thing of the Swiss Family Treehouse was the water system. Now, the Swiss Family Treehouse, it was the water wheel, the little bamboo buckets, but then there was also different, like, chutes, wasn't there? The little buckets would dump into
And take it to the different rooms and stuff.
Like, shoots that would then provide all the rooms with fresh, clean water. So,
and I think they're doing that again.
I hope so.
Because if you look at the concept art, it looks like what they've done is there's a lot of little things that go to the different areas. So I'm hoping that they're going to continue that, because I think that'd be really amazing. Mm-hmm. It looks way more extensive than the original Swiss Family Treehouse. But I just remember, this is so nerdy of me, but I remember the original Swiss Family Treehouse. I would sit there and watch the water, and it was mesmerizing of how it worked. It went up and it took water. There was somewhere in here, I was just reading it a minute ago. I should have said it when we were talking about it. It talked about how many gallons of water it would bring up into the tree per hour. Let me see if I can find that really quick. 200 gallons of water per hour.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. So I remember there's a picture on Yesterland here about it, too, that it shows it pulling it out of the thing. It fills it up and dumps it into the different things.
It's very cool.
Yeah. I'm also interested to see, because I totally forgot how to get up and down the tree. Because before, with Tarzan, you'd get up in the thing. So
the separate stump.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see that. that photo of Walt is really awesome. I'm glad you found that. So, yeah, I hope you guys are excited for the new treehouse, or not the new treehouse, but the new themed treehouse.
Yeah, tell us what you think about, you know, what some of your favorite things from either the Swiss Family treehouse or Tarzan's treehouse were. And also let us know what you're excited about with the new Adventureland treehouse opening soon.
Hopefully.
Fall 2023. So we're
when does fall end?
Practically there. I don't know when the official date is. We might be lucky enough that perhaps it will open while we're there. Perhaps not, but it will be happening soon.
Fall starts September 1st and ends December.
Yep.
So anytime between now and December, Teresa. So yep. maybe a December trip and it'll be open. Who knows?
There you go.
I think it's almost there though, because it seems like.
Oh, I think it'll be open for a December trip. It's just kind of a, I'm kind of like sitting on the edge of my seat like, oh, is it going to be open for our October trip or not quite yet?
Yeah.
Because it feels like any day now it could be opening, but it could also just look that way and actually be a little ways down
the road. Maybe the day this episode drops, boom, it's open. Who knows?
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
All right, welcome back to Trivia Land. We got some good ones for you. I said you were going to do pretty good this week. You did pretty good this week.
Maybe. Did you say we were going to do pretty good this week?
Maybe.
I don't know.
It's not like we record this and someone could go back and say, I'm not sure how you're going to do.
Right.
Crazy idea. Well, whatever. You did pretty good. I'll give you that one.
Well, there's hope for us yet.
The first question I have for you is, what is the name of the training program new Disney cast members go through? You both answered Traditions, which is correct.
Yay! Good job, us.
This is so off topic, but I'm going to say it anyways. I don't know why suddenly Trivia Land has brought like musicals to mind, but Fiddler on the Roof. That's all I could have.
Oh, Traditions! Traditions!
Traditions song, yes. I don't even know what the, yeah.
Oh, that is a great idea.
Did you know Fiddler on the Roof is coming to our local?
I was going to say, it's actually coming to our local community theater.
We already
very, very soon.
We already have tickets.
Do we?
Yep.
I couldn't remember if we bought them or not.
We did. Question number two, true or false, Walt Disney dropped out of high school and served in the Army. You both went with true, and you're both wrong.
Dang it.
Very intentionally worded, Walt Disney dropped out of high school and served in the Army is not correct. Walt Disney did drop out of high school with the intention of serving in the Army, but he was 16 and not allowed to enlist, so he joined the Red Cross.
That's what it was.
Yep. No military history for Walt.
Yeah, I knew it was some sort of medical, like you said, like not like front lines kind of a thing.
Darn trivia guy and their wording making things tough, right?
No, that was good.
Yeah, had to be very precise, you know. But anyway, let's go on to our third question. Thanks to touringplans.com for these two. As of 2019, what attraction at the resort has the lowest hourly capacity? It was in your brainstorm, but it was not the answer you gave me. It is the Emotional Whirlwind.
You had that one.
Averages about 280 guests an hour.
I bet you Dumbo and Jumpin' Jellyfish aren't too much higher than that.
No.
A 90-second ride where the cast members have to check each and every car door and open every car door really slows this one down.
How many people per hour?
280.
That's still kind of high.
What do you mean that's kind of high? Compared to something like Pirates, which is like 2,800?
No, I know, but just think of like, I don't know, just think of the attraction.
Yeah, but you could fit four people in a bucket.
I suppose.
Yep.
There's not that many buckets, though, either.
There's a past trivia question.
It does seem like a lot.
Name all the characters on the bucket, and you got it right.
That's true.
But, yes.
Hmm.
All right, our last question this week. I asked, which show on average has a longer runtime, Fantasmic or Mickey and the Magical Map? Their average runtimes were about 25 minutes versus 20 minutes in favor of Fantasmic.
Woohoo!
And Fantasmic, I saw numbers 22, 27, and then Touring Plans locked in at 25. And I'm like, you know what? That's good enough for me.
For Fantasmic?
Yeah.
I wonder if it depends on like the mode or something. Like if no, it's all music. Like,
it's
and
all
stuff.
Music.
Never
so
mind.
That's why I was
no
very
idea.
Confused at the different yeah. ideas.
I don't know.
So someone should just go sit with a stopwatch, obviously, for Fantasmic both of these shows that aren't running right now.
Right.
Yeah.
But at least trivia keeps on running. We know that's not going anywhere anytime soon. Don't.
You got 50. You got 50%, and I got 25.
I mean, I guess 50 does sound better than 20.
Yeah,
50%'s not a passing score.
I mean, you were on the right track with the other ones at some point too.
That's true.
It's not like it was just no chance. But if the listeners want to give you no chance. We can do those questions, too. Whatever you're kind of feeling, send the questions our way. Teresa and Tag are shaking their heads at me. So maybe not. But it's up to you, listeners, to help us fill up our trivia pool. Our email is trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Thank you to our editor, Sadell, for beautifully editing this episode and making sure all the show notes are posted. Thank you.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.